In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. St. Paul writes in today's epistle that God has commanded light to shine out of darkness in the hearts of his people. And when we talk about the heart of a human being, we're talking about the center of that person's being. St. Paul dichotomized this, if that's a word. He talked about the outer man and the inner man. He said, though my outer man is decaying, my inner man is being renewed. What constitutes this renewal? Nothing less than the life of the resurrected Christ. That's what constitutes this renewal. It's new life. New life, you know, not life that's been just sort of having a few band-aids put on it, doctored up a little bit. New life, life as God intended for mankind to experience it when he created each and every one of us out of nothing. So in the heart, we find this is where we have communion with God. When we talk about the kingdom of God, this lofty term, we use this term a lot in the Orthodox Church. We find it throughout the scriptures, the kingdom of God. Where is that to be found? In the heart of man. Don't ask me why God has chosen in his economy to arrange things in that way. I don't know the answer to that. It's a great mystery. But this much we do know. He loves each and every one of us. He made each and every one of us in his holy image. Thereby, he has given us that potential to become like him. To change. Change that is a transformational change. As St. Paul described it, from glory to glory. That kind of change. Not a devolution, but a transformation where the light of God takes residence in our darkened souls. Now the question might arise in one's heart or mind, you know, who has a darkened soul? The answer to that is each and every one of us. Because all of us share this illness of the soul known as sin. And in the Orthodox Church, we see sin not as a legal problem, but as an illness that must be cured. And the cure for that illness is the grace and mercy of God. Nothing else will cure it. We are sick. And paradoxically, the beginning of our healing is when we admit that we are sick. To ourselves, to God, and to our fellow man. None of us in this room is perfect. None of us is. We make mistakes each and every day. We offend God each and every day. And yet he never gives up on us. Never. He never looks at us through the prism of disgust because we don't measure up to what he intended for us from the beginning. He just keeps on loving us. You parents with little ones can relate to this to some measure. You see your little children doing things they shouldn't do sometimes. Does that mean you stop loving your children? You recognize that they are, you know, they have weaknesses. We all do. God sees those things and he forbears. He is patient and forbearing. Because he sees us for what we can become, not just for what we are. So in today's epistle, where God commands, we see that St. Paul writes that God has commanded light to shine out of darkness, the darkness of the hearts of his people. We see that in this innermost sense of our being, we have that opportunity, the invitation, the gift that is offered to you and to me to replace the darkness of sin that so easily entangles us, paralyzes us, prevents us from not only going and doing what God wants us to do, but also becoming what he wants us to become. This light can change all of that. The themes of light and darkness are very, very essential themes in the theology of the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, and always have been. When our innermost sense of being has been, that is darkened by sin and rebellion against God, has been enlightened by the mercy of God, this enables us to come to know God and to experience him, to have a relationship with him, to not relate to him as though he were some philosophy or set of rules and regulations, but to relate to him as he is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. And he wants you and I to experience his life. He wants you and I to experience the glory of God, as St. Paul said, from glory to glory, an inexhaustible transition that the fathers of the church teach will never end, not even in the kingdom eternal. We will never get to a point where we can say to God, aha, I finally got you all figured out. He is inexhaustible. We are finite, he is infinite. He is so beyond us, we cannot begin to totally understand that, and we do not need to try. We do not need to try to figure him out. To experience communion with him, we simply come to him with a bent neck in humility, acknowledging our sins, acknowledging this illness of the soul, standing before his presence in the sense of wonder and of awe. Not so that we can provide some dissertation or wax eloquent about, you know, what God is like. Just so that we can live. Because he created you and I to be vessels of his life. That's what he calls each and every one of us to. And St. Paul uses this term today in the epistle, where he uses the term treasure in earthen vessels. What a beautiful way to express that. So as we have said many times before, this light is the life of Christ himself in us. This life of God has been given to us as an agent of change. Now you may be thinking, I don't really feel like I need to change. Well, you got a problem right there. All of us need to change. All of us need to change from glory to glory. God calls us to himself, and as we move closer to him, as we embrace his commandments, obey his commandments, and embrace and seek after the virtues of God, he imparts through the energies, the divine energies, a life to us that enables us to be what he wants us to be. It enables us also to endure the sufferings of this world and of this life. And to turn the, you know, on the devil, to turn him on his head. Because the devil thought he had the Lord when he took him to the cross, and he thinks he has you and me as well. We're called to become truly human, but that process takes place in the daily rigors of the circumstances of our life. As we deny ourselves and take up our cross, we follow our Lord, dealing with those circumstances and the people in our lives according to the will of God, not according to the passions which so easily rule us. Anger, lust, envy, greed, all of these things that are so nasty, they're a poison, and they're poisoning our entire world. But we do not have to give into this, and we must not. We cannot overcome these things on our own power. We have to have the grace of God. In 2 Corinthians 4, beginning verse 8, I love this passage. I just love this passage. Because we just see this great paradox of the weakness of our human nature and the power of God in that weak human nature. In verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. This is renewal, my friends. This is what you and I are called to as Christians. This is life. A life that changes us. But it does more than just that. A life that speaks to a world that desperately needs a word, an encouragement of hope. That desperately needs to see God. If I may say so, in fear and trembling, you and I are the primary vehicles through which others see God or do not see Him. The way we live in our relation to Him goes way beyond affecting just us. You will recall the famous quotation from St. Seraphim of Sarov, the famous Russian saint, who said something to the effect, this is not a direct quote, but there's something to the effect of, save yourself and you'll save thousands of others around you. Because others will see this genuine, authentic relationship with God that is effecting change that is unto salvation in your life. This is what it really means to be a witness. When we were in our evangelical days, back in the old days, we used to talk a lot about witnessing for the faith. There's not anything wrong with that. But the primary way we witness, the most potent way that we witness to others about the relationship we have with God, is how we live. Our words are important, but our lives are even more important. So our Lord makes us strong when we are weak. He brings hope and life out of despair and darkness. He leaves no area of our lives untouched in His efforts to save and to transform us. He calls us to love and treat others the way we would have them treat us. This is a very critical way, one of many, that we show the love of God. Because what He calls you and I to is to learn to love others the way He loves us and the way He loves them. He calls us to love our enemies and to pray for them. That's not natural, but that's God's love, because I hate to tell you, but you yourself have been His enemy, and I have too. We have disobeyed him. We have rebelled against him. We were, in a very real sense, responsible for his suffering on the cross. As I've said before, we were in Gethsemane with him when he was in such agony that he sweat drops of blood. It was the weight of your sins and my sins. You say, well, I didn't even exist then. In the mind of God, you did, my friends. He is not bound by time and space. The weight of all of the sins of humanity were on him in Gethsemane. So in spite of this, our Lord gives us the privilege of not only working out our salvation in fear and trembling, but becoming vehicles of his grace and mercy to those whom we encounter. May we be cognizant of the great mercy that has been extended to us by our Lord. And may we learn to love others the way he loves us. May we seek his kingdom above all else and be willing to change from glory to glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.